Welcome back to the Deep Dive. You know that moment when you're trying to connect two powerful people or maybe integrate a new team member, and you just want to make that introduction truly land? That's exactly what we're here to master today. We're about to unpack a truly vital skill set for anyone navigating the modern professional world, especially if you're aiming for that C1 language level proficiency.
Right.
Our deep dive today is into an incredibly insightful resource. A specific guide called Business English Vocabulary and Expressions, thoughtfully provided by lingexam.com. Our mission, well, it's to extract the most impactful nuggets of knowledge to help you master the art of business introductions and connections.
Precisely. And this deep dive focuses on a skill that's, well, it's often underestimated, yet it's critically important.
Yeah.
How we introduce others and facilitate connections in a business context.
Yeah.
It's about much more than just stating names. It's about building rapport, fostering trust, and, you know, opening tangible doors for future collaboration. You'll soon see why this isn't just politeness, but a strategic cornerstone of professional success.
So let's unpack this then. When we talk about introducing others and facilitating connections in business, how does the source sort of redefine what an introduction is? Because it's clearly far beyond simply stating names, isn't it?
Absolutely. What truly sets a C1 professional apart, as the source highlights, is understanding introductions as an act of strategic bridge building.
Bridge building, I like that.
Yeah. It's not just about who you know, but how you connect them. This means presenting colleagues, superiors, clients in a way that truly builds rapport, respect, and fosters collaboration right from the outset.
Okay.
At the C1 level, the expectation is definitely to use precise, advanced linking language, appropriate titles, and rich contextual information. It's about setting the stage for a truly productive interaction, not just a simple handshake, you know?
That makes so much sense. I mean, we all do introductions, but why is this guide stressing their strategic importance so strongly for business networking? It feels like something we just sort of do, but clearly there's a deeper purpose here.
It's an excellent question. The source reveals that introductions are actually the invisible handshake of trust in the business world.
Invisible handshake.
Okay. They're not just politeness. They're the first ripple in a wave of trust, collaboration, cultural cohesion, and ultimately achieving your business goals.
Wow.
Firstly, they build trust and credibility. How you present others directly reflects your own professionalism and your respect for both parties. It subtly communicates that you value the people you're connecting and, by extension, yourself.
Right. It says something about you.
Exactly. Secondly, they facilitate collaboration. A really thoughtful introduction can immediately highlight common goals or, you know, relevant experience sparking new business opportunities right from the start, often in ways you wouldn't expect.
And it's not just external facing, is it? Does this skill play a role internally within an organization, say, in team dynamics?
Oh, absolutely. It absolutely does. Mm-hmm. Thirdly, they enhance organizational culture. Effective connectors help create a more positive, more inclusive environment where all voices feel valued.
Mm.
When people feel seen and their expertise acknowledged, it naturally fosters a better working atmosphere. And fourth, and perhaps most strategically, they support business objectives.
Okay.
Networking is vital for sharing information, finding resources, advancing careers. So for you, the listener, mastering this isn't just about good manners. It's a strategic move for your professional trajectory, enabling you to become a key facilitator within your organization.
That really highlights the strategic value. So, okay, understanding why these introductions matter is crucial, but the guide doesn't stop there, does it? It actually breaks down the how-to into a surprisingly clear step-by-step process.
It does.
What are the key elements of a professional introduction, and how do we execute them to truly leverage this C1 level skill?
You're right. A high-level business introduction typically includes, well, proper use of names and titles, a brief description of each person's role or expertise, the reason for the introduction, appropriate linking language, and an invitation for further conversation. The source outlines a clear 5-step process to ensure you cover all your bases.
Okay, 5 steps.
First, get permission if needed. Now, imagine you're at a conference and want to introduce a junior colleague to a senior client. It's probably wise to ensure both parties are comfortable first.
Right, check first.
Examples provided are things like, would you like me to introduce you to the project manager? Or, may I put you in touch with our lead consultant? This simple step shows respect for everyone involved and makes sure the introduction is actually welcomed.
That's a subtle but really crucial step, isn't it? It sets a professional tone immediately.
Precisely. Then step two, use names, titles, and roles clearly. This is fundamental. Always introduce the person with higher status or seniority first.
Okay, seniority first.
Use their full name and, when relevant, their title and specific role. For instance, may I introduce you to Mr. Richard Thomas, our Director of Operations, or this is Dr. Lisa Kim, Head of Research at Biogen. This precision is key at the C1 level. It demonstrates attention to detail and respect.
I can see how that adds immediate credibility. And then once names are clear, we move to the why, right? What's the next crucial piece of the puzzle that the source highlights for truly effective introductions?
Exactly. Step 3 is to provide context and relevance. This is where you really connect the dots.
Yeah, the connection.
Explain why you are making the introduction or what connects the individuals. This could be a shared project, a specific area of expertise, or maybe a mutual professional interest. For example, Richard oversees our global logistics strategy and has extensive experience in supply chain management. Or perhaps Lisa and I have worked closely on a number of innovation projects. This immediately gives the individual something tangible to build on, avoiding those awkward silences.
That's where the actual connection starts to happen, creating that immediate conversation point. Brilliant. What's next in the process to really ensure the interaction takes off?
Step 4, facilitate the conversation. Don't just, you know, leave them hanging after the initial introduction.
Let's drop them in it.
Exactly. Encourage interaction or suggest a topic to help them connect. You might say something like, I thought you two would benefit from discussing the recent changes in trade regulations. Or maybe you might have met at the annual industry conference last year. Think of yourself as a launch pad for their discussion.
Okay, give them a starting point. And finally, the graceful exit, so to speak. How do we wrap up our role as the facilitator?
Indeed. Step 5, invite ongoing contact. Signal openness for future interaction, letting them know it's okay to continue the conversation independently. Examples are, I'll let you two get acquainted, or feel free to exchange contact details and follow up after the meeting. These 5 steps really ensure a complete, professional, and effective introduction, setting the stage for future collaboration.
Now, for our C1 level listeners, this is where it gets really interesting. The guide takes this a step further, offering specific language patterns. What are some of those key phrases that really elevate an introduction beyond the basics?
Right. These phrases go beyond basic introductions and convey a higher level of fluency and professionalism. For polished introduction patterns, you can use things like, may I introduce you to? Allow me to present. Let me put you in touch with.
Oh, put you in touch. That's good.
Yeah. Or I'd like to introduce you to who oversees. Oh, this is who leads our department. Or even you may already know from. These are versatile and instantly demonstrate respect and clarity.
It's interesting how these advanced patterns inherently incorporate the context we just discussed. It's so efficient. And what about specific C1 level expressions to really paint a clear picture of someone's role or background?
Exactly. For C1 level key expressions, the source suggests phrases such as he, she is in charge of, we've worked closely on, you might have met at, he, she brings a wealth of experience in, quote, they are currently managing our project, or he, she and I collaborated on. These add crucial detail and show a deeper understanding of roles and relationships.
That's a fantastic toolkit. What about the actual linking language to forge those connections even stronger? This feels like where we go beyond just introducing and really highlight the synergy between people.
This is exactly where you explicitly connect the dots for the individuals, giving them an immediate reason to engage. Use phrases like, given your shared interests in, I believe you two have a lot in common regarding Bavis, or both of you were involved in. These directly highlight the synergy and give them a compelling starting point for their discussion.
This toolkit of phrases is powerful, but a true C1 professional knows that one size doesn't fit all, right? The guide highlights that adapting your approach to different business environments is just as crucial as the words you use. How do we adapt these introductions to different business contexts? Because, I mean, an internal team meeting is surely different from a huge global networking event.
You're spot on. Adapting your style is absolutely key. The guide provides 4 essential contexts where your introduction style really needs to shift. First, for internal meetings or project teams, the focus should probably be on roles and current projects to foster direct collaboration. More direct.
Yeah.
For example, everyone, this is Ahmed Patel, who is joining us from the R&D team. He's in charge of the new product launch. It's about clarifying internal functions efficiently, getting straight to the point for immediate teamwork.
So less formality maybe and more direct relevance to the current work. That makes sense. What about external, broader settings where the goal is perhaps less immediate collaboration and more about, you know, building a network?
Right. For networking events, you want to highlight mutual interests to encourage discussion and potential future connections. Imagine you're at an industry mixer. You might say something like, "Let me introduce you to Karen, who also works in sustainable finance. Karen, this is David from Green Fund. I think you both have a lot to share about green investment strategies." You're basically looking for common ground to spark a natural conversation and hopefully a long-term connection.
That's a great tip for breaking the ice. And when you're dealing with international teams or clients, oh boy, the stakes are even higher, aren't they? There are so many cultural nuances to consider.
They certainly are. For cross-cultural or multinational settings, you need extra clarity with names, titles, functions, and a heightened awareness of hierarchy. Precision and respect for cultural norms are absolutely paramount here.
Got it.
For instance, introducing Dr. Sato from our Tokyo office, he's responsible for strategic partnerships in Asia Pacific. Mm. Or Mrs. Olga Ivanova, our head of legal affairs for Eastern Europe. Olga, this is Mr. Tomas Alvarez, who leads our expansion team in South America. Always be mindful of local customs, like name order or even gestures.
That makes complete sense. And then the highly important client meetings, how do we ensure our introductions build confidence there?
Finally, yes, for client or external partner meetings, you must demonstrate utmost professionalism and clearly clarify everyone's role to build confidence and trust. An example could be, "Mr. Bennett, may I introduce you to our project manager, Jennifer Lin? Jennifer has overseen similar projects for several key clients in the finance sector. This immediately assures the client of the expertise they are engaging with, reinforcing your organization's credibility."
And speaking of international contexts, cultural sensitivity in introductions is absolutely paramount, isn't it? I mean, as a C1 speaker, you're expected to not only know the language, but also navigate these subtle social codes. What are the key areas the source highlights here?
It's a crucial area. This really begs the question. How do cultural norms impact our introductions? The source emphasizes a few key areas. First, hierarchy and formality. In some cultures, like Japan, Korea, or Germany, hierarchy and titles are extremely important, demanding a more formal approach, often using Mr., Mist, maybe professional titles. In others, say the US, Australia, or Scandinavian countries, a more relaxed style is typical. You simply must adjust your introduction style accordingly to show respect. Getting this wrong can cause unintentional offense, even if you don't mean it.
So definitely not one size fits all, which makes perfect sense. And names, of course, are critical. I've always worried about mispronouncing a name. It feels so awkward.
Exactly. Second, name order and pronunciation. Be attentive to surname and given name order, which is common in East Asia, for example, where the surname often comes first. And always, always strive for accurate pronunciation.
But what if you're not sure?
If you are unsure, politely ask, "Could you please clarify the pronunciation of your name?" Or, "How do you prefer your name to be pronounced?" It shows respect and attention to detail, and frankly, saves you from an awkward moment later. Much better to ask.
That's great advice. Just ask politely. And what about the actual physical or virtual interaction? How does etiquette differ there?
Thirdly, physical and virtual etiquette.
Yeah.
In person, a handshake, if it's culturally appropriate for gender and status, can accompany the introduction. But definitely do your research first.
Right.
In virtual meetings, maintaining good eye contact with your camera and speaking clearly are crucial, as those nonverbal cues are limited. Your C1 ability also means adapting your clarity for potential language barriers in multinational virtual settings, perhaps speaking a little slower or enunciating more clearly if needed.
We've talked about all the good practices, the things to do. Now let's quickly touch on the common mistakes to avoid. Because even at a C1 level, it's easy to overlook these subtle missteps, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, the source clearly outlines the pitfalls that can undermine your efforts. One common mistake is omitting key context or roles. Simply saying, "This is John," leaves the other person completely uncertain about John's relevance, making the introduction almost useless.
Right.
It's like handing someone a key without telling them which door it opens.
You're leaving too much for them to figure out and potentially missing a huge opportunity.
Precisely. Another is using informal or unclear language. You really want to avoid phrases like, "Hey, this is Mike. He does something in marketing."
Vague.
Very vague. Instead, aim for that C1 precision. "This is Michael Smith, who leads our digital marketing initiatives." That clarity is vital for professional credibility.
And the seniority rule. That's one people sometimes get wrong in the moment, I think.
Indeed. A significant error is ignoring hierarchy or seniority. Always address the more senior person first when making the introduction. It's a basic sign of respect and just proper business etiquette. Also, Feeling to link the parties is a big miss.
Yeah.
You need to highlight what connects them or why they should interact, otherwise the connection might just fizzle out before it even begins.
So don't just introduce names. Introduce a reason for conversation. Give them a reason to engage.
Exactly. And finally, neglecting cultural etiquette is a major pitfall. As we discussed, you must use appropriate titles and observe local customs. Failing to do so can unintentionally cause offense or misunderstanding, even if your language is otherwise grammatically perfect. It can really undermine the whole interaction.
So an introduction is just the opening act, really. How do we ensure it leads to the whole play? What does the guide suggest for building relationships beyond that initial handshake or, you know, virtual wave?
That's a crucial point.
Yeah.
How do we facilitate ongoing communication and really build on that initial connection? The source provides excellent strategies. First, for facilitating ongoing communication, always suggest exchanging contact information.
Okay.
You can also recommend a follow-up meeting or discussion, or maybe offer to provide more background or context if needed. Your role as a connector kind of extends to enabling those future interactions.
It's about nurturing the seed you've planted into something more substantial, isn't it?
Right, exactly. And then reinforcing the connection. This means referencing shared interests or goals that you highlighted during the introduction. You can also mention past collaboration or mutual contacts, which strengthens the bond and adds a layer of history.
Mm-hmm.
And most importantly, encourage collaboration on a specific project or topic. Give them a tangible reason to work together, a shared purpose.
That's how a connection truly turns into a working relationship, I suppose. What about for new team members, integrating them into the existing network? How do we smooth that transition?
For supporting new team members, the source suggests assigning a buddy or mentor for new colleagues, which provides an immediate go-to person and helps them navigate the new environment.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, and crucially, introduce newcomers to multiple team members across different departments to really broaden their network within the organization. This helps them quickly integrate, feel part of the team, and find their footing much faster.
To wrap up this section, let's highlight some essential C1 level vocabulary for facilitating connections, straight from our source. These are terms that will make your language more precise and professional, really signaling your advanced proficiency.
Yes, these are key terms that truly elevate your business English. First, oversee, verb, meaning to be responsible for or to supervise. For example, she oversees all product development for the entire division.
Okay, oversee.
Next, point of contact, noun phrase. This is the designated person who handles communication for a particular project or client. Example, he'll be your main point of contact during this entire transition process.
Got it. Point of contact.
Then collaboration, noun, simply means working together. Example, they collaborated extensively on several groundbreaking research papers leading to a new patent. This is central to business success and a sign of a high-functioning team, you know.
Mm-hmm. And what about conveying specialized knowledge or those who act as bridges themselves? What terms help there?
That brings us to expertise. Noun, specialized skill or knowledge. Example, Her expertise is in cutting-edge digital marketing analytics, which is invaluable to our team. Very important when introducing someone for their specific valuable skills.
Right.
Another valuable term is liaison. Now, basically a person who facilitates communication between groups.
Mm.
Example, she acts as our liaison with the technical development team, ensuring smooth communication between engineering and sales.
Liaison, okay.
Crucially, rapport. Noun, that positive trust-based relationship. Example, building rapport with key stakeholders is crucial in client relations, especially when negotiating complex deals. This is really the ultimate goal of good introductions to establish this foundational trust.
The end goal.
Exactly. And finally, initiative. Noun, a new project or action, often driven by an individual or team. Example, he led our latest sustainability initiative, which significantly reduced our carbon footprint this quarter. All these terms demonstrate your C1 level command of business English and your ability to engage in sophisticated business discussions.
For those of you ready to put this into practice, the source suggests some fantastic activities like formal introduction simulations, email introduction challenges, networking event role plays, and finally, some frequently asked questions that clarify those common sticking points. It's great to see practical advice alongside the theory.
Yes, practical activities are absolutely crucial for mastering these skills. You truly learn by doing, don't you? As for FAQs, the guide addresses some very common uncertainties for C1 learners.
Like?
Who should you introduce first? Typically, the more senior person, then the other party. For example, Mrs. Lee, our CEO, may I introduce Mr. Patel, our new senior analyst? It's a clear mark of respect.
Okay, seniority again.
How detailed should an introduction be? Include names, roles, and maybe one or two highly relevant details. Avoid lengthy biographies. You're aiming for succinct clarity that provides enough context without overwhelming them.
And what if you have one of those awkward moments where you forget a detail or perhaps a name? We've all been there. It's mortifying.
It happens to everyone. What if you forget a name or title? The source advises to apologize briefly and clarify. I'm so sorry. Could you remind me of your official title, or would you mind reintroducing yourself? Better to ask politely than to guess incorrectly or just stumble through it.
Good point.
And finally, is it necessary to mention previous connections? Yes, absolutely. If they've met before or share a mutual project, mentioning it makes the introduction warmer, more personal, and more meaningful. It helps them pick up where they left off or solidifies an existing link.
Makes sense.
The source even provides polished C1-level examples for various scenarios, from a formal boardroom meeting to a client email, demonstrating how these principles apply in real-world situations, which is incredibly valuable for practice. So in conclusion, mastering introductions and connections at the C1 level isn't just about language proficiency. It's really about becoming a strategic connector within your professional ecosystem. You're not just communicating. You're actively opening doors for significant collaboration and strengthening your professional network, laying the groundwork for lasting business opportunities.
Exactly. By utilizing these advanced language patterns, demonstrating keen cultural awareness, and providing that relevant context, you help create truly lasting business relationships that extend far beyond that initial meeting.
Mm-hmm.
As actionable steps for you listening, remember to practice these introductions in diverse scenarios, in-person meetings, networking events, virtual calls, even emails. Consistently use clear linking language and appropriate titles. Seek feedback from trusted colleagues on your clarity and professionalism, and always, always observe and adapt to different cultural expectations.
And crucially, reflect on the outcomes of your introductions. Did the connection you facilitated actually lead to further discussion or collaboration? This continuous reflection is absolutely key to refining your skills and becoming an even more effective networker.
Ultimately, by truly mastering these techniques and language patterns, you, the listener, will stand out as a highly valued connector and facilitator in the modern business world. This isn't just a language skill. It's really an essential leadership competency for any C1 level professional aiming for influence and success.
Well said.
This deep dive was based on business English vocabulary and expressions provided by lingexam.com. We highly encourage you to visit their website at lingexam.com. That's lingexam.com to explore more valuable content on this topic and other essential business English skills. Thank you for joining us on the deep dive, and we look forward to our next exploration of knowledge.